Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Passage here this morning that we're reading from is Matthew chapter 9. We're continuing our series here through looking at the things that Jesus said and did so that we could see him. In verse 14 it says, "Then John's disciples came to him saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?'" If I could pause here for a second, because I'm not probably going to share this during this sermon, but we see, and we know this by personal experience, or at least I do anyway, that when I'm critical and when I'm complaining, when I'm negative, that's very contagious. Because over the past 2 weeks, we've seen people that are complaining. We've seen the Pharisees complain. We've seen the scribes complain. We've seen a very negative attitude coming from them. And now we see that it's actually spread to John's disciples. These are not the Pharisees and scribes. These are John the Baptist disciples. And they ask this question, "We fast, but your disciples do not fast. Why is that?" And Jesus said to them, verse 15, "Can the wedding guest be sad while the groom is with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one patches an old garment with unshrunk cloth, because the patch pulls away from the garment and makes the tear worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the skins burst. The wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. No, they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." So again, if you have your Bibles, keep them open to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Today we're looking at, the things that Jesus taught, because we want to see Jesus, and that's our goal as we go through this, to be able to see Jesus. And I realize as we're going through this that we've seen that Jesus taught in parables. And we've talked about what a parable is. A parable is where Jesus told a biblical truth. He shared something that was a heavenly truth, and he shared alongside that an illustration. He would kind of say, okay, this is what I'm talking about. And over Jesus taught like that. And so we're going to see today that Jesus talked, as he was talking about complaining and negativity over the past couple weeks, now he says, okay, but you can have a fresh start. You can have a new start. And with Jacob starting today, I realize this would be a great opportunity for us to talk about a new start, a new direction. I had a great week this past week in regard to, I got a call on Monday from an individual, and he goes to Settle Memorial Methodist Church. And he said, "We've got a group of people that's on a vision team, and we're developing things here for Settle, and we've heard different stories about different churches around our community, and you're one of the churches that we've heard about, and we'd like to talk to you. So if you've got a few moments," and we set the time for Thursday. Actually, it wound up that I had a funeral Thursday, so I wasn't able to stay for as long as what I wanted to, but we had a good hour in which we all talked together. And as they were wrapping it up, they said, "We have a question for you." And they said, "Could you describe yourself as a pastor? What kind of pastor are you? Are you a good pastor?" And I said, "Well, I know good pastors." I said, "I'm definitely not one of those pastors." And I said, what came to me, and you'll appreciate this if you heard me preach earlier this year, what came to me to try to describe me, I wanted to say hardworking. But you know, I don't like that either. I don't like the hardworking pastor as a description. And so I said, "You know what? Here's the best way I can think of to answer that question. I love my Panther Creek church family. I love our church family with all my heart. And I genuinely care about the things that go on in their life, whatever it is. I care about the things that go on in their life." I said, if that's one way that you could describe me, do that. But I walked away from it, be honest with you, convicted. I walked away thinking to myself, you know, how can I be a better pastor? There's ways that I could do this better. There's ways that I could improve, right? And so I began to think and put a list together of ways that I want to improve as a pastor, ways that I want to be better as a pastor. And I realize, as I look at this passage, this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about, this is how we improve. This is how we get better. But he just uses one word to describe it. Actually, he doesn't talk about this passage, but if you look at the New Testament, Jesus uses one word over and over and over again to talk about how we can improve, how we can go from this point forward and be better. And the word he uses is new. New. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, therefore, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In Revelation 21, 5, he says, I'm making everything new. New, over and over again. This is how we can be better. And so I see in this passage here three things that Jesus says, if you make this new, things will be better from this point on. So I thought, this would be a good way to start with this, Jacob. I think to start about, okay, how we can make things better from this point on. Again, he's been talking about negativity. He's been talking about complaining. He's been talking about criticizing. And now he switches gears and he says, okay, this is what you need to make new. And the first thing he says here is we need to make our hearts new. It has to start with our hearts. And you say, Eddie, where do you read that? Well, let's look at verse 14. Verse 14 says here, now the Pharisee or John the Baptist, his disciples have come to Jesus, and they've come to Jesus and they've asked this question. They said, why do we fast and your disciples don't fast? Why does it work out like that? And Jesus' answer was in verse 15. This is what he says. He says, Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests be sad while the groom is with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. But right now, he says, this is what we need to have. We need to have a new heart that is filled with joy, that is happy, that is glad. I mean, look at the way some Christians act and some Christians carry out their life, and you would think that their life, their Christian life, can be described in just something that is so depressing, something that is filled with mourning. I love the fact that he uses a wedding celebration here to describe how our Christian life should be. This is how it should be. And I love that because I told you just a little while ago, I've been preparing for this wedding since last December. Now, come August 5th at 2 o'clock p.m., I know there's going to be some things that happen on that day. There are going to be tears, mostly from me. There's going to be laughing. There's going to be conversation. There's going to be people that are going to be talking. There's going to be people that are going to be eating. There's going to be people that are having a good time. And there's going to be a few times, I know it, I can see it already, there's going to be a few times where I'm prone to sadness. As I think about the changes that are coming to our family, as I think about my 21-year-old daughter, and she's not going to be home anymore. I can't just run up to her bedroom and say, hey, Sarah, how was your day? I know that things are changing. Actually, I think Jarrett's family's got it much worse because Jarrett is getting married on August 5th, and they're leaving and moving to Bowling Green. But then 2 weeks later, Their last daughter, their only other daughter, she's leaving and going to University of Louisville. So they've got a double whammy right here in the month of August. So I know that there's going to be changes going on to our families. And I know there's going to be times when I'm going to be prone to sadness. And you know what I'm going to do during those times? When I'm prone to that, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. Because all my parenthood, I've been planning for this moment. I've been ready for this day. I've been trying to prepare Sarah for her life as it's coming. I want this to happen. I want Sarah to get on. So I know that when I'm prone to sadness on that day, I'm going to reset to thankfulness. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly what Jesus is saying right here. Jesus is saying we've got to have the kind of heart that is filled with joy. What is the world seeing when they see us? Let's be honest for a second. If people hung out with you 24/7 for a full week, would they be wanting to come to Jesus Christ as a result of what they saw in your life, hanging around you all that time? Well, they should, because they should see joy. Jesus said it should be a heart that is full, a heart that is celebrating just like a wedding celebration. That's exactly what they should see. That's what they should be a part of. And that's how we should be as Christians. It really begins with a new heart. A new day needs to start with a new heart in each and every one of us, where we are thankful for what God does in our lives. I shared this in Sunday school class. This past week, we had a vacation Bible school. And in vacation Bible school, it was great. I'm so thankful for everybody who worked in vacation Bible school. I'm so thankful for everybody who came and participated in vacation Bible school. It was wonderful. We did something a little different this year. We started on Sunday night, last Sunday night, and we went through Monday through Wednesday during the daytime. It was great. People worked very hard. But I got to tell you, I think our attendance that first night was 10. It was 10. You know, somewhere in there. We'll say 10. So next, the following day, guess what? I'm going to a pastor's meeting, and pastors like to talk, and we like to ask each other questions, and we like to talk to one another, and they knew I was going to have Vacation Bible School, so guess what they wanted to talk about? They wanted to talk about Vacation Bible School, and you know the question they're going to ask. I knew it was coming. I'd hoped that they would forget, but they didn't forget, and they asked this question. They said, how many do you have coming? And I said, we had 10. And they said, Eddie, that's awful. I'm so sorry. I just can't believe 10 people, that's all you got coming? I said, yeah, that's what we had. We had 10. I think the second day we had maybe 10. it grew that by the end of the week we had 30. But let me tell you something that happened during Vacation Bible School. During Vacation Bible School, every year I have children who we just make a connection. For whatever reason, there's kids that I make a connection with. You know, we had several this year. I just love the kids, and so we're having Vacation Bible School on Monday. Somebody comes up to me, and it is actually a grandmother, and she said, Eddie, she's got something she wants to tell you. And I said, what is it? And she didn't want to tell me. And so finally, she came up to me and she said, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I said, well, okay, that's all right. I'll miss you. And she said, yeah, I just want to let you know I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I really want to be here, but I can't be here tomorrow. And I said, I get it. No problem. I said, I wish I could go with you where you're going, but I said, it's okay. And so she was so glad, and she ran away. And then her grandmother came to me, and she whispered in my ear. She said, Eddie, she told us last night that she loves Brother Eddie. And there were two boys sitting right here in this pew right over here. On the very last day, they came up to me and said, golly, we missed you today. We didn't think we were going to be able to see you. We're so glad to see you. And they hugged me, you know. And by the last day, when we had children here and they're experiencing the love of Jesus Christ and the workers that were working with them, they have an environment that is filled with joy. And I even mentioned to somebody here, it was so good to see that we can bring children here and they can see the love of Jesus and they can participate in an environment that is so loving. If we had two here all week, it would be worth it. If we had two here all week, it would be worth it. I see the things that are going on in food pantry. You know, and sometimes we can look at the food pantry. Sometimes we can look at things that we're doing at the church and say, you know, negative. And we can say, oh, well, nobody's really coming to that, or we don't have enough food, or we can do, you know, we can say whatever we want. Michelle Goodall, everybody who's worked in that, has done a great job with it. Yesterday, I get a call from somebody who sent Michelle a text message, a lengthy text message, just to say thank you. Michelle told me yesterday that she's working with an 82-year-old man that doesn't have anything. If he was the only one we had an opportunity to help, it would all be worth it. But let me tell you something. It needs to happen with a new heart. If we're not thankful for the things that God does for us, then that's never going to take place. We're always going to be negative. Positivity happens when we start to be more thankful for the things that God has given us. That's what he's saying here, for the things that God does in our life. It happens with a new heart. It not only happens with a new heart, it happens with a new commitment. Did you see here in verse 15, I'm sorry, 16? In verse 16 it says, no one patches an old garment with unshrunk cloth, because the patch pulls away from the garment and makes the tear worse. So here's what Jesus is saying. In Jesus' time, they didn't have the fabric that we have today, where things don't shrink. In Jesus' time, you bought a robe two sizes too big, and then you washed it several times, and then it got to the size that you wanted it to be. And all the time, these things were getting holes in them. They would tear them in places as they were walking. The moths would get into these robes. All the time, these things had holes in them. And so they knew that if you're going to patch an old robe, you don't take new cloth to put on that old robe. You take old cloth, because if you put new cloth on there, what's it going to do the next time you wash it? It's going to shrink, and it's going to shrink, and it's going to wind up tearing the cloth. So what Jesus is talking about here is we need to come all in with a new commitment. Stop trying to patch the things that we have going on in our life and come all in with a new commitment to Him. I want to show you something here today. These are my favorite shorts. I love these shorts. I've had these since I've been at Panther Creek, maybe a few years before then. So I've had them for at least 10 years. I love these shorts. They're stretched. They're faded. They've got holes in them. You can see here. They've got paint, paint from our last mission trip that we took. You know, they're frayed at the bottom. I love these. I've been wanting to take some duct tape, to be honest with you, and just kind of put over some of these holes and just continue on. Because all the guys know that all we really need in life is duct tape and WD-40. Is that not true? I mean, if it doesn't move, or if it moves and it's not supposed to move, you use duct tape. If it doesn't move and it's supposed to move, use WD-40. I still remember my grandfather sitting in his recliner watching TV. He would have iced tea on the table, and at the bottom next to his chair, he had a can of WD-40. And when that joint in his elbow didn't move like it was supposed to move, he would take out that WD-40, spray it on there, and just move it just fine. We all know that, right? Well, thankfully, Lisa did something different. Thankfully, Lisa came up with a better idea. For my birthday and for Father's Day, she decided that instead of using duct tape to patch these, she would get me some new shorts. And not cargo shorts, and cargo shorts are out of style now. She got me new shorts to wear, and that's much better. And God knows the same thing. It is much better for us to have a new commitment to Him instead of playing around and trying to patch all this stuff up. Think about how many times in our life we try to patch up things instead of a new commitment to Christ. I mean, we'll go down to payday loans because we're having financial problems, and we'll try to patch up our financial problems by making another loan that we're going to have to pay back. We try to patch up our marriages. We try to patch up our jobs. We try to patch up relationships. We try to patch up all these things that we've got going on in our life, and really what we need is a new commitment to Jesus Christ. That's what we're lacking, really, in our lives, if we would look close enough. You know, it reminds me of that lady in Eastern Kentucky. You hear about that lady, bless you, that lady in Eastern Kentucky who had 9 children, bless her heart. And these children went out playing one day, and they got into it. There was a road that had been just asphalt, had just been put back down on this road. And so they were crossing and playing on this road, and one of them fell on this road. And you know, man, I can remember my summer days. You get on asphalt, you get tar. All you have to do is look at tar, and it's all over you. I mean, it's in your hair, it's on your face, it's on your legs, it's on your arms. And this young man had it all over him. So he came home crying to his mom, and his mom took him in the bathroom. She put him in the bathtub. She was scrubbing him, trying to get that tar off. Nothing was working, and finally she looked at him. She said, "Oh, for Pete's sakes, Tommy, I think it'd be a lot easier just to have another one than to try to clean you up." And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Instead of trying to patch up all the problems that we have going on in our life, it's time to have a new commitment to Jesus Christ. But there's one final thing that we need to do, because the Bible says as we think, we're going to go in that direction. And so we need to control our thinking to have new thoughts and new ideas about what God is calling us to do. And I think with Jacob starting, this is a wonderful thing to do. This is a wonderful thing to think about. Let me read verse 17, and I'll close with this. Verse 17 says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins." Does that make you just want to burst out laughing? That's a joke, by the way. That was a joke that Jesus told. I'm serious. Jesus just told a joke here. And let me read it again, and maybe you'll feel like laughing. "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins." Ha, ha, ha. Let me give you the punchline. Here's the punchline. In Jesus' time, they used wineskins out of goat skin. And so they would take a goat, and they would take up to its neck. They would peel all that skin back, all the way back to its neck, its belly, its feet. They would get it all together off that goat, and then they would sew up the belly of that skin. They would sew up the feet of that skin so that all you had is the opening was the neck. They would dry that out, make sure everything was fine. And once they had it all dried out, they would take new wine, and they would fill that wineskin with this new wine. And so it would be great because the new wine would ferment, you know, it would stay in there and just kind of ferment. As it did so, the gases expanded, and it didn't matter because that goat skin was going to expand along with that wine. And so there's the punchline, Larry. I mean, that's it. That's why this is so funny, because people knew what Jesus was saying. Anytime you take new wine and put it in a new wineskin, it's not a problem. But after a while, guess what happens? That wineskin gets older and older, and it dries out more and more. And finally, it gets to the part where it cannot expand anymore. So you put new wine into an old wineskin. All of a sudden, it begins to moan. It begins to groan. It begins to pop. And those stitches just come right out, and wine goes all over the floor. It's never going to work. I realize the older I get, the more prone I am to resist new ideas and new thinking. Maybe you're a lot like me. The older I get, the more prone I am to, when somebody brings me a new idea, I moan, groan, and before I know it, that new idea has just gone away, and it's by the wayside, kind of wasted on the ground. And maybe that's true of a lot of us. So what we need to do, and what Jesus is telling us to do, is we've got to stay fresh. We've got to make sure we're doing things in our life that will keep us open to new ideas. This afternoon, for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, at 4 o'clock, we're going down to Bellevue, and several of us are going to learn how to do a soccer camp. I don't know anything about soccer. To be honest, I don't even like soccer. I've never liked that sport. And I'm really not hitting, I'm not too keen on running up and down a soccer field this week, especially as hot as it is. You know, I'm not too keen on that either, but I tell you this, I want to do that more than I want to turn into an old wineskin. I want to look for new opportunities where we can reach people for Jesus Christ than I do wanting to turn into an old wineskin. Thursday night, we heard a person give us a speech on how we can minister and reach out to refugee households here in Owensboro. Again, not anything I've ever done before. But I don't know about you, but I want to stay open to new ideas that we can reach people with for Jesus Christ. It's a new day. It's a new day. And with this new day, I hope we'll approach it with a new heart. I hope we'll approach it with a new commitment to Jesus Christ, pursuing new ideas that He's bringing to us to reach people for Him. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.